We'll actually start with Chris. An online question. John Ray asks, Mike argues that the rapture occurs at the last trumpet, and his argument is strengthened by Revelation 11:15-18, which says, the time has come to reward your servants. I understand that the rewards of the saints occurs at the rapture. Is this correct?
Yes. Which is at the seventh trumpet.
There we go.
Yes, it is. I don't know how he does it that fast. He's probably really up to date on his database all the time, so it's not that much to process. He's probably got it.
He's got it.
Hair on the head, the whole bit, you know, knows all of the hairs numbered.
So I have a question.
He didn't need to deliberate very long.
I have a question and then an observation.
Moira, go home.
So if the
please,
if the two witnesses are prophesying 1,260 days, but they're dead for 3.5 of those days.
Play off that 1260. What's the deal?
Are they? You knew it was. Is it possible that they're prophesying 3 days before the abomination of desolation? Maybe.
Well, I mean, the abomination of desolation is at the beginning of the 42 months. This is at the end of the 42 months.
Right, but is there an indicator?
He's adding the plus in.
Oh, they got a little jump start.
Maybe they're
never
saying.
Never thought of that.
I don't know.
There's a certain kind of person who would think about that.
Yeah.
No, I have.
I know
never,
a guy.
No, think about it. Just back it up an inch.
Their death is a prophetic declaration.
I don't know. I've never thought such a thing.
So, my other observation is
that. I'm trying
to
think of.
No, really, think of that.
Just sitting here pondering.
It strikes me as very interesting in Revelation 10, like that scene of the angel who, I believe it's an angel, but why isn't it the angel of the Lord, like an appearance of Jesus? I mean, I don't know. That's just a question.
I think you just answered your own question is, I believe it's an angel, meaning the angel of the Lord is clearly set in a completely different category.
Different category than a mighty angel. So there's three mighty angels in the book of Revelation.
Okay. He wouldn't be the angel of the Lord because that's, one, that is a worshipped person in the Old Testament.
So this angel has glory like Jesus, not at the same measure, but he's in that. He's way up there.
So I can't help but think that this is a parallel to Revelation 5 when Jesus takes the scroll. So I'm thinking about Samuel when we were teaching about Daniel 7, and it's the crazy thing is that the saints are ruling with Jesus. It seems like the imagery, go take it out of his right hand and then prophesy, and it says about peoples, kings, nations, and all this stuff. It's like, it seems to be very similar to Revelation 5. So it's like we're enacting what Jesus is enacting in a sense. I know we know that generally, but I'm just wondering if there's more.
I don't think the little book is the scroll, but I think the little book is contained as a subunit of what's in the scroll. The scroll's the one that Jesus took. That's the big one. I mean, that's the. Whoa.
But are you making that point? Or are you saying similar imagery?
I guess I'm just saying, is there more there about the saints reigning?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah. Then, you know, it's just so similar to.
I mean, I think there's so many layers we're not getting. Yeah. I mean, 5 and 10 and 20 years from now, we're going to have so much more understanding just because we got more and more godly people talking and thinking and praying. And
the thing
like,
is
so much we don't get.
The thing that's interesting about your 3.5 days is Jesus seems to expect people can recognize what's happening in time to flee. Although he says when you see the abomination, so something's got to be happening, it does seem like there's a really narrow window to get out of the city, so it might make sense there's also a prophetic function beginning to warn them in an extreme way.
Just curious, I really agree that Revelation 11:15-19 is the second coming, but I'm just wondering, given that the second coming is so important, why do you guys think that the Lord did not make a huge one or two or more chapter chronological section of the details of Jesus' second coming in Revelation, the stream of the chronological sections? Like, why is it just through an announcement that we have to use all these cross references and we know? But why do you think that the Lord
did that? Here's my opinion, is that Revelation 11, 15 and 19, that's the second coming through the view, the paradigm of political power and empires, because that's the big struggle. The Antichrist is all about political power. So that's the big issue. He says, I'm the one taking over that. And when they highlight Jesus, that's in chapter 19, he's marching into Jerusalem. So he's saying, I want to be unveiled walking into Jerusalem, my city, not when I appear in the sky. So catch me on that end of the 30 days, not the front end. That's my opinion. Is that good enough?
I mean, it works. I mean, he's harvesting the nations. He's, as Mike said, he makes the massive entry in chapter 19. Then he's seated
in judgment.
But that's
the entry into Jerusalem, not just coming back to touching the earth.
So our point would be, I think that there's a lot of expansion on the drama surrounding the second coming.
Yeah.
So he put it in context of taking over nations, because that's been the conflict up to that point in time.
And I'd also add that Revelation 17 through 19 kind of has these bookend statements. Bookend statements of come, let me show you, right, the woman, which is the harlot Babylon, and then come, let me show you the bride of the Lamb. So I think that there's also the key emphasis in the book of Revelation of showing Jesus as being the glory is given to him, that he was the one that purchased for himself from all the nations. So there's also sort of that kind of dynamic that's played out throughout the book of Revelation. Like Mike said, the drama. One of the key things that's including in the drama is the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman in conflict.
Okay.
So during the fifth trumpet, so the people who took the seal of God will be protected.
Yeah,
right?
Chapter 9, verse 4, you mean?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Okay. 9. So, but before the fifth trumpet, will the saints be protected by God? I mean, during the earthquake in the, you know,
it's hard to say. Because there's not a real straight answer, because the wrath of God doesn't target the church. But the discipline of God does touch the church. The discipline of God is redemptive to purify the church. The wrath of God is punitive to punish unbelievers. Then there's the collateral damage. Do you know what I mean by that phrase? Yeah. The damage that happens because we live in a fallen world. And I'm a believer, but I still live in a fallen world. So people get sick and cars crash and bombs blow up and earthquakes happen in a fallen world. We're still a part of a fallen world. So to say, because the wrath of God is not targeted towards the saints, that there's no trouble of natural, that's too big of a statement.
Okay. So.
But the wrath of God is not targeted for the church.
There's a difference between it can affect us and, like Mike's saying, that it's targeted at us, if that makes sense. So Daniel is affected by what happens. Ezekiel's affected and yet preserved in a unique way.
Like when the Russians invaded Berlin and killed Hitler, did anybody born again die in that battle? I think so.
Probably.
I'm guessing a million people died in that battle.
But it's also key to understand, like, Revelation 15:1 says that the wrath of God is finished and contained within the bowls of wrath. So understanding the difference between that versus, say, Zephaniah 2 that says the day of the Lord is a day of wrath, as in generically speaking, there is wrath going from, you know, you see Satan's wrath in Revelation 12. It says, woe to the earth, for he's filled with great wrath. So I think sometimes some people kind of overcomplicate the concepts of whose wrath or what wrath am I experiencing, and is it directly affecting me, or is it, like you said, collateral?
I think it's
damage?
Better to say wrath and discipline.
Yes.
It's easier, even though there might be little nuances that are just too hard to get every nuance in. But wrath and discipline is, one's redemptive, one's punitive. That's broad strokes.
Right.
And then there's collateral damage because you're in a fallen world.
Right.
You know, people die of earthquakes. In earthquakes, believers do.
So you talked about the land of Goshen,
right?
Yeah. So for the end time, does that mean like we will have a specific geography?
I think there'll be some.
Oh, really?
Yeah, why not? Because that is in the book of Exodus, and that is the model. Where, I don't know, but again, mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, my goal isn't to make sure I don't die. Mm. What's that? Maybe. I mean, who knows? But our goal isn't to make sure we don't die. That's not the goal. Because, I mean, like, I'm a little tired today. Are you a little tired today?
A little bit.
And a little this and a little that and a little the other. And the second you die, you're in absolute bliss and glory. That's so bad. Okay. It's like, oh, awesome. But a lot of folks, they're not thinking how glorious it is to die in the Lord. It's fantastic. Right. To the 1 second later, you're in total bliss, no pain, no fatigue, no need, total happy, 1 second later. And the angel goes, are you mad? I go, oh, this is amazing. I had no idea.
Especially if there's an Antichrist on the earth.
Yeah, I mean, like, today was long. Today was long.
Right, we have another online question from Mary Valente. And Mary, there's been some technological excitement on the way, so hopefully I've got your question right. She's asking about...
Which translates, we got problem with our technology?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
She's asking about Revelation 9 and the demons who ride horses and release the plagues and the locusts.
Right.
Are those going to be visible to the nations?
Hmm.
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Something will be visible.
Maybe. I don't know.
There's others.
Kind of
people
hope not.
See versus what's
in there.
I don't know. That is a great. That's a Toflin question.
Yeah. Are you seeing heaven's perspective of it? Or are you seeing the way it appears?
No, I'm gonna quit dogging. I've never thought of that.
Oh really?
No.
I've thought of it.
Those locusts like showing up.
No, I've wondered that. I just don't know the answer.
Oh. I don't know. Go ahead.
I mean, there is the angels that are declaring. And it seems from the language, correct me if I'm wrong, that the nations are witnessing the angels declaring. So it seems like there is sort of a pulling back of the veil of some sort.
Yeah, there's a pulling back the veil for sure. Right. So does that mean visible? Could.
Huh. That seemed to be like when Ezekiel saw the idolatry in the temple, he saw imagery that was not necessarily visible to the eye when he's describing... When the Lord showed him what was happening in Jerusalem, or from the Lord's perspective, that's what makes me wonder, are we seeing heaven's perspective or the way we see it? I don't know the answer. We'll know when we get there.
Huh. Interesting question.
Okay, so I'm piggybacking on what Chris said, trying to get the placement of the 3.5 years and the two witnesses. And so the Antichrist kills them.
Right.
What is he doing in Jerusalem at the end of the 1,260 days if he's theoretically on the outside attacking? I'm trying to figure out. There's a lot that has to happen before the 30 days begin. We have a lot piled right into there,
exactly,
which
right.
is simple on a nice little timeline, but doesn't actually
right.
fit into reality. So you have these witnesses. They're going to prophesy. You have half of the earth pretty much decimated. Technology's probably...
Not
been
great.
Destroyed. So I'm trying to figure out how at the end of that 1,260 days there, the whole earth is able to even see as he's trying to come, because he's out. He's been kicked out as far as I understand, because he's surrounding Jerusalem to come back in to take
Who's
it.
Who's kicked out?
The Antichrist.
Well, probably a portion of Jerusalem, they're on a siege, they've hunkered down, but I think the whole metro area is not like that. I think they've hunkered around a spot of it. Who knows why? All the nations are in a siege, and they can't.
But it says
maybe they don't want to destroy various parts of the city.
He's going to come in and take half of it. If he already has it, he doesn't need to take it. So he's on the outside, coming back in
at
the end.
But I think it'd be more clear to say there's a portion of the city preserved. He's unable to take than to say he's outside the city, unable.
And so he has his armies. He musters all his armies to come back in and try to take. All of it.
Right.
Yeah,
I want all of it.
I do so many World War II analogies. The Stalingrad. Do you know the Battle of Stalingrad a little bit?
No.
Is that yes or no?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't want. So, Battle of Stalingrad, what happens? The German armies come. They got a million of them surrounding Stalingrad. And it goes on for like all over a year. And they're a minute away, Hitler's from taking them. And then a year later, the Nazis are completely defeated. So they moved in, and they were going block by block. Then they got driven back. Then they moved in again, and they were driven back. And it was incredibly difficult, and the Nazis lost it.
Yep.
And so it's this ebb and flow.
I very, right.
And I'm thinking the Antichrist.
Like a serious assault.
And
assault, but
they get
keep
part of it, they come
back.
Who knows? But there's a part of the city probably the Antichrist does not want to destroy. He wants it for spiritual reasons, I'm guessing. So he wants to kill the people and not blow up the buildings.
Right. So we're thinking,
it's
right.
Something like that.
And sometime at the end of that, theoretically, he kills the two and a half witnesses.
Yes.
Or he kills the witnesses at the
yes.
end.
Yes.
And is able yes. then to project that in the decimated world to everyone to see it. And after all the billions
how, yeah.
are dead and everything's occurred, they're happy enough to give presents. It just seems like bad. Like it seems like this occurred maybe 3.5 years before at the point at which the witnesses prophesied up until the abomination that causes desolation. He kills them, sets up the abomination that causes desolation. Their celebration, they're giving gifts. Their plagues were not quite as bad as what's about to come. Yeah. Is,
again, it's the yeah. Nazi regime, the story again. When Hitler dies, all of Europe is decimated, but they are so happy they're having a party out of right. the decimation when he dies. The nations think these guys are evil like that. They're thinking, because yeah. somewhere there's been an Antichrist narrative against them. And again, decimated Europe, they're celebrating in
so
the streets.
So the world can still somehow
they
find
literally are
out.
Celebrating in the streets because the evil okay. two people are gone.
Right. Cool. Thanks.
The prior concept of where is the Antichrist at, Isaiah 28 says, as often as the scourge passes through you. So in other words, the Antichrist army is consistently, there's at least numerous times that the army is within the walls or within Israel, you know, whatever part. Like I said, certain parts probably taken over, certain parts not taken over. So the time of trampling over the course of 1,260 days it's during the entire time that the two witnesses are prophesying.
So the seven trumpets, bowls, and seals are sequential and progressive.
Yes. Yes.
Can I apply that principle to the seven thunders?
Nah, no, because it's no. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, you might, but we don't know.
That was yeah. my next question.
It's tricky.
Because I don't know when. I mean, it's just strange that seven thunders and that seven sequential type of stuff happening all throughout the book. What is the time period of those seven
thunders?
I think
thunders? It's in the whole 3.5 years. I think this, my opinion is, this parenthetical sections, the angelic, are all go a whole 3.5 years. They're panoramas of the whole 3.5 years, every one of them. So whereas the fifth bowl trumpet is after the fourth one, and it's only a short time. But the parenthetical sections are the whole 3.5 year trends in them.
So why then are you not saying it cannot be progressive?
Well, they could. I wouldn't say cannot. You said are they?
You were saying we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so in other words,
can,
more of
yeah,
an
I wouldn't
unknown,
say cannot. I would just say.
Which is why we don't say the seven trumpets, bowls, seals, and thunders.
Yeah. Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Thank
yeah.
you.
And they're prophecies. They're information to bless the church, not judgments against the Antichrist. Yeah. Interesting. I want to know what those are.
I do too, actually.
Hey, so the two witnesses, when they die, you said you're not sure if they get raptured before or after or in the middle.
Or are they the first ones to go up or who knows, you know?
Paul says the dead rise first. I'm assuming they rise with the dead.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Just a little
they
dot.
Were dead, so they're on the front end.
Right, right.
Good. I never thought about that.
Thank you.
No, that they were dead.
The dead go first. Come
the
on,
dead
everyone
in Christ
knows that.
Rise first.
Go ahead, come on.
No, I never put that together.
In Revelation 10:4, it said, "Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them." And I noticed that in Daniel chapter 8, also angel told Daniel to seal up the vision and do not, because the vision is about many end times, end days. Yes. And I just wonder, because I read a book before, its name is Bible Code.
Bible Code.
Bible Code. It said, behind the Bible, there are many secret codes. And only when the technique of computer, yeah.
So I want to get your question.
I just wonder, is it possible to for the Bible code to reveal some secret things.
I don't have an opinion on that.
You don't?
I don't know.
But it said it is true that there are many codes behind the.
Good. I don't
Bible.
Know those kind of things.
Because
I'm a little negative on
they
that.
They input.
So. No, not negative. I'm deficient in my knowledge.
Right.
Thank you, though. That's interesting. Never thought about it. Jess.
All right.
Last one here.
All right. So mine's kind of a two-parter. So the first part of the question is, could you help explain the relationship between the prophetic ministry of Revelation 10 and 11 to the anointed prayer of Revelation 8?
I
and
bet
how that relates
gotta be connected. They have
to be. The release of the judgments of God on a global level, because it's a global thing, so the whole church needs to know that.
I think your point is, are they connected? They are. They have to be.
So I'm curious, how, like, are there more biblical scriptures on how that works so that we can have understanding? Or
we just know that prayer without prophecy is not as energized, and prophecy without prayer is not as powerful. They just have to go, they always go together in the scripture.
Okay.
So you're on to something for sure.
So then the other question was, why don't we see, if we're ramping up to the global demonstrations of anointed prayer undergirded by the prophetic spirit releasing the justice of God, why don't we see more of this in action, even on a regional and national level, as we approach the end of the age, as we're ramping up and watching for the signs of the times?
I don't know I don't really know, but God, and the final years, decades, there's so many strategic timings. Things are layered on top of each other. The Lord's saying, this is a little different hour, because I'm working in a way that's going to cause multitudes to do this or that, and it's a little different. It's a different hour, so I don't have good answers for that.
I mean, the closest thing that comes to mind is that connection between a cry of intercession and deliverance is found in the Exodus. So the people are crying out to God for deliverance. Moses is raised up, so the prophetic vessel. And then related to your second point, though, the prophetic vessel actually doesn't emerge until it actually is time to set into motion the Exodus. So it's being answered, but it's not visible. And so it might apply to what we see right now.
Good question. All right. Thanks, folks. Thank you, panel. We're dismissed for today. See you back in 2 weeks.